ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। फ्रॉम द श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 6 चैप्टर 2 एंटाइटल अजामिल डिलीवर्ड बाय द विष्णु दूतास टेक्स्ट 19। यथा गदं वीर्यतमं उपयुक्तं यदृच्छया अजानतोऽप्यात्मगुणं कुर्यान्मन्त्रोऽप्युदारतः। ट्रांसलेशन एंड परपोर्ट बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद। इफ अ पर्सन अनअवेयर ऑफ द इफेक्टिव पोटेंसी ऑफ अ सर्टन मेडिसिन टेक्स दैट मेडिसिन और इज फोर्स्ड टू टेक इट, इट विल एक्ट इवन विदाउट हिज नॉलेज बिकॉज इट्स पोटेंसी डज नॉट डिपेंड ऑन द पेशेंट्स अंडरस्टैंडिंग। सिमिलरली, even though one does not know the value of chanting the holy name of the Lord, if one chants knowingly or unknowingly, the chanting will be very effective. Purport. In the Western countries where the Hare Krishna movement is spreading, learned scholars and other thoughtful men are realizing its effectiveness. For example, Dr. J. Stilson Judah, a learned scholar, has been very much attracted to this movement because he has actually seen that it is turning hippies addicted to drugs into pure Vaishnavas who voluntarily become servants of Krishna and humanity. Even a few years ago, such hippies did not know the Hare Krishna mantra, but now they are chanting. But now they are chanting it and becoming pure Vaishnavas. Thus, they are becoming free from all sinful activities such as illicit sex, intoxication, meat eating and gambling. This is practical proof of the effectiveness of the Hare Krishna movement, which is supported in this verse. One may or may not know the value of chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, but if one somehow or the other chants it, he will immediately be purified. Just as one who takes a potent medicine will feel its effects regardless of whether he takes it knowingly or unknowingly. A certain man who was stranded on a very isolated and desolated island of the Caribbean was feeling himself totally rejected by the world and specifically by God. This person, who was the only human being living on that island, surrounded by extreme climatic conditions and deadly bloodthirsty predators who were living on that island, was one day standing on the shore of that island, of that ocean also, and was looking out into the ocean and was thinking that it's just a matter of some days and I'll become history over here, being eaten by all these deadly beasts. And if no rescue ship comes to help me out, that'll be my destination. So somehow he tried to protect himself through some survival techniques which he could gather on that island. So he gathered some bamboos, some straw, some dry grass, and he made a small hut for himself. And then one day he thought that I don't know how long I'll be living, but at least I should start praying to God. Because over here, nobody else other than God can listen to my prayers. So every day for many hours, he would very fervently pray to God for help, for rescue. And as every day he was going on with his prayers, he didn't have practically any food to eat, which he could get from that island. So one day he was so weak and he was feeling himself so exhausted, he thought that this would be the last day for his life. And he started praying so intensely to God. And as his intensity increased in his prayers, he saw that the sky above him started to change. The clear sky changed into a dark, cloudy sky. And there were thunder sounds, lightning bolts to be seen. And he felt that as if God is hearing him, something is happening. So he could see some ray of hope. And before he could deduce anything from that, a big, huge lightning bolt came crashing down from the sky and just hit on that hut which he had made for himself. And within seconds, that bamboo hut was in flames. And now he was thinking, this was the only shelter I had on this island, which I had made for myself. And after praying to God for so many days, so intensely, this is what I received from him. So then he started cursing God. He started to show his fist towards the sky, as if only if I could get you, I would show you who am I. And the next day when he got up, he saw that amazingly, surprisingly, a ship was heading towards this island. And then he thought to himself, maybe because I cursed God yesterday, so he became afraid of me. He became fearful of me, and therefore he's sending some rescue, this ship for me. And then the ship just came close to the island and it harbored over there, and the crew from the ship came down and he asked the captain, the first question this person asked the captain, that what was the reason that you selected this island for your ship? And the captain said, from a distance I saw some smoke coming out from this island. So I thought that if there is smoke, somebody might be living over here. So I thought of coming over here and looking out if some human beings are living over here, because I saw some smoke. So then when I was close to this island, I saw through my binoculars, and I could see that the smoke was coming out from some hut which was recently burnt. And now I'm here and I see you. And this man immediately could understand. The first thing he did, he again went to the shore. He kneeled down and started bowing down to God, started praying again fervently, thanking him for sending that lightning bolt. Because if it was not that lightning bolt, striking his hut, the hut wouldn't be in flames, and the smoke which came out from that hut won't attract that ship to come to the island. So we see that in the Srimad Bhagavatam also, whenever the Supreme Personality of Godhead wants to show His rain-like mercy, it always precedes with some thunder and lightning. Just like over here, in Ajamil's case, before the Vishnudutas came, the thunder and lightning came in the life of Ajamil in the form of the Yamadutas. In fact, yes, of course, it was the earlier part of Ajamil's life that he was a Brahmin, a very, very high class Brahmin, because of which, of that Sukruti, he could name his son as Narayan. But we read in the purports of our Acharyas that Ajamil could chant his son's name, which was Lord's name, helplessly because of the Yamadutas. So in one sense, it was the Yamadutas who instigated Ajamil to chant Narayan. So if the Yamadutas are compared to the thunder and lightning in case of Ajamil, it was just they preceding the rain-like mercy of the Vishnudutas about to come. So Ajamil just saw the thunder and lightning in form of Yamadutas, and he cried out Narayan helplessly because of them, and then immediately the Vishnudutas appeared. And we see that happening in practically so many instances and episodes in the Srimad Bhagavatam. You see thunder and lightning in these devotees' lives, and then the rain-like mercy of Krishna just following after the thunder and lightning. We have the example of the Pandavas, and Duryodhan was a thunder and lightning, not just one time, but so many times in the lives of Pandavas. And the rain-like mercy was Krishna who came in the self-same form every time. Then we have Parikshit Maharaj's example. For Parikshit Maharaj, who was the thunder and lightning? Sringi. Sringi, his curse acted like lightning bolts on Parikshit Maharaj's life. And the rain-like mercy which followed after that thunder and lightning was Shukdev Goswami. We have Draupadi's case. For Draupadi, Dushyasan acted as thunder and lightning. But Krishna appearing as Sari for Draupadi was a rain-like mercy after the thunder and lightning of Dushyasan. We have Dhruva Maharaj. Suruchi, the stepmother of Dhruva Maharaj, her thunderbolt-like words were hitting Dhruva Maharaj so much that he was hissing like a snake, it is said. So Suruchi acted like thunder and lightning bolts in the life of Dhruva Maharaj. And the Supreme Personality of Godhead in his four-handed form as Vaikunthapati appeared like the rain-like mercy following after the thunderbolts of Suruchi. Then we have Prahlad Maharaj. Hiranyakashipu was the big huge thunderbolt in the life of Prahlad Maharaj, followed by the rain-like mercy of Lord Narsingadev in the form of half man and half lion. And here in this canto we are reading again Ajamil, Yamadutas who acted like thunderbolts in the life of Ajamil, which was followed by the rain-like mercy of Vishnudutas. So similarly, when Krishna himself also appears in this material world, it is also preceded by thunderbolts and lightnings and all these catastrophes. Vishwanath Chakri Thakur explains the beautiful example. Krishna's appearance, as we'll be celebrating just a couple of weeks within this material world. He says, he compares Krishna to a dazzling diamond. And he says that the beauty of a dazzling diamond will be seen when it is put in a background of something which is very dark. You have a dazzling diamond, you put that dazzling diamond on a silver plate, you won't be able to see the beauty of that diamond so much. The diamond will not stand out so much in the background of a silver plate. So he's explaining that Krishna performing his pastimes in the spiritual world is like that dazzling diamond kept on a silver plate. The spiritual world is like the silver plate, and Krishna is like the dazzling diamond. But when that same diamond comes within this material world to perform his pastimes, this material world is compared to an iron plate. So dark. But that dark background of that iron plate makes sure that the dazzling diamond stands out. So Vishwanath Chakri Thakur explains that Krishna's pastimes within this material world, when he appears, it stands out so much. His attributes, his qualities, his features, his pastimes, they stand out so much, just like that diamond which is kept on that dark plate. And we see that before Krishna's Janma, the preamble for Janmashtami, just like now we are all getting set, the preamble for Janmashtami, the introduction for Janmashtami, was a similar kind of thunderbolt on whom? Vasudev and Devaki. So yes, during Janmashtami we read of how Krishna appeared in the prison house of Kamsa, and we read a little bit about what Kamsa did to Devaki and her sons. But the beginning of the 10th canto, when Parikshit Maharaj is asking questions about the pastimes of Krishna to be explained, Shukadeva Goswami begins by actually first glorifying Vasudev. And he's saying in a sense that if it was not Vasudev who protected Devaki, we wouldn't be celebrating Janmashtami. So many times we may not so much focus on this one personality, Vasudev. Just like if you draw parallel over here with this episode of Ajamil, if it was not the Vishnudutas who protected Ajamil, Ajamil wouldn't be going back home, back to Godhead. So just like Vishnudutas, in the next verse, the very next verse, it is said how Vishnudutas, by their arguments which they put forth, the reasoning and arguments which they put forth in front of the Yamadutas and defeated the Yamadutas in that argument, Ajamil was saved, and Ajamil rectified his situation and then went back home, back to Godhead. So similarly, Vasudev also, the kind of reasoning and arguments he put forth in front of Kamsa in order to protect Devaki, a similar situation. Yamadutas, they have, you know, held Ajamil in their clutches. Similarly, Kamsa was holding Devaki in his clutches. And just like Vishnudutas, by their arguments and reasoning, they freed Ajamil. Similarly, Vasudev did the same. Just by his reasoning, by his logical arguments, he convinced Kamsa to release Devaki. So, being Janmashtami coming close, so I thought we'll just go through, how did Vasudev protect Devaki? just like Vishnu Dutas are protecting and have protected Ajamil in this episode. So Shukdev Goswami takes us back 5,000 years on the wedding day of Devaki and Vasudev. And with such great pomp and grandeur, the wedding was celebrated. And Kamsa was like the man of the series over there. He was the one who was doing everything. The manager running around and doing all the jobs, chores for his sister's marriage. So much expressing his love. The words used by Shukadeva Goswami is Swashu Priya Chikirshayaha. Swashu means one's own sister. And Priya Chikirshaya. He was feeling so close to Devaki, especially on that day, that he was the one who was arranging everything for her marriage. So much so, it's explained that he was the one who became the chariot driver for Devaki. The chariot was ready over there, and the chariot driver was sitting. Kamsa, he went over there and told the chariot driver, "You get down, I will be the one who will be driving her." So in front of everyone, the whole of Mathura was observing this, and they were simply, just their hearts opened up and fell at the feet of Kamsa, that Kamsa was showing so much love for Devaki. So Kamsa was driving the chariot, and we know how just a short distance, he took the chariot, having Devaki and Vasudev on it after their marriage, and the Akashvani from Amaravati Prasaran Kendra, you know, the land of the demigods. The Akashvani was heard. And why the demigods, at that particular moment, they spoke in such a way, instigating Kamsa into anger, trying to kill Devaki. Somebody might ask that, why demigods had to, you know, on that day, you know, they could have waited. Now, who could stop Krishna to take birth? They could have waited. Why did they, you know, intervene and inform Kamsa that this is going to happen to you? The eighth child of Devaki is going to kill you. The Acharyas explain, the demigods, they saw that this Kamsa, who is the one who is supposed to be killed by Krishna, and we have approached Krishna for that. Already, you know, the petition has been submitted by Lord Brahma unto Lord Krishna, and Lord Krishna has agreed to appear and to kill Kamsa specifically. And herein what we are seeing, the beginning of the movie of Krishna Leela, the villain of the movie is acting as a nice guy. He is rendering devotional service. So he is rendering devotional service to Devaki, a pure devotee of Krishna. So if he continues to render this devotional service to Devaki, then definitely Krishna is not going to kill this Kamsa. Because he'll be having this agyat sakriti of rendering devotional service to one of his pure devotees. So we have to somehow or the other stop this Kamsa from performing this devotional act. So the Akashvani spoke, and the Akashvani spoke Ashtamo Garbho. You know, they were very particular in the words which they used, the demigods, in the Akashvani. They said that it won't be just, they said Ashtamo Garbho. Garbha is just embryo. They didn't say whether it will be male or female, because they knew that the eighth, according to Kamsa, will be a female. So if Kamsa would remember later on that what the Akashvani had said, if they would have said Ashtamo Putro, then Kamsa, he would have remembered that the Akashvani had said Putra. But herein, I am seeing a girl. So there is something happened in between. The Putra has taken birth, because the Akashvani never goes in vain. But somewhere this Putra is. So the demigods knew that in those times, you know, when Akashvani is taken very seriously, even by a person like Kamsa, So Kamsa would remember that, and if he would have any suspicions, then he would at that time kill Devaki. So therefore, the words which they used was just Garbha. And Prabhupada writes in the purport that according to the Vishwakosh dictionary, Garbha also means Arbhaka, which means just a child. And also Garbha means embryo. So actually they were right also to say that a child will be born. They didn't specifically mention the gender of the child, whether it will be male or female. Now Kamsa, when he heard that, immediately, what did Kamsa do? Immediately he left the reins of the chariot, and with the same hand he held the hair of Devaki. And Prabhupada writes in the purport that this is the nature of someone whose mind is very fickle. At one point, Kamsa was expressing so much love towards Devaki that he was himself acting like the chariot driver. And when he heard that Akashvani, the next moment, the same Kamsa threw the reins of those chariot and immediately held the hair of Devaki. So this is how the fickle mind works. At one moment, we are thinking of Krishna. The next moment, the same mind and the same particular situation starts thinking of Maya. That's how the Kamsa's influence can be seen in the mind. And also, one of the reasons why Kamsa did that to Devaki, because people like Kamsa and the Kamsa-like mind within us also many times, in our sadhana bhakti, when everything is going my way, then devotional service is the most ecstatic process. Like before the Akashvani, everything was going the way Kamsa wanted. So Kamsa was expressing his love, his affection and all that. So in sadhana bhakti also, when everything goes my way, I like speaking. So preaching is the essence. I like singing. So unless kirtan is there, no other way, no other way, no other way. I like eating. So Prabhupada said, prasadam is our only weapon. We are kitchen religion. We may have all the quotes for that. I like to exhibit my nice artistic talents. So deity worship is the only way. So as long as, you know, as Prabhupada said, we get our balam rice and cow ghee, devotional service is ecstatic. So that balam rice and cow ghee could be that we like preaching, we like singing, we like deity worship, we like this, like that. It's just what we like. But one time Prabhupada said that devotional service means to do what Krishna likes. So herein, Kamsa was acting like that. That everything was going my way. And now this Devaki is coming in between my way. So whether she might be my sister or whatever, if she is coming in my way, I am going to eliminate her. So that's Kamsa's mentality. And in fact, when Kamsa was holding Devaki's hair, it is said that before that also, the maid servants of Devaki would hold Devaki's hair to braid it. And that was service rendered by those maid servants. But when Kamsa was holding that same hair, it was not like any kind of service which he was rendering. He was not preparing to braid the hair of Devaki while holding that hair. It is explained that before the marriage of Kamsa, Jarasandha had two daughters, and he wanted these daughters to marry a person who had so much bodily strength. So Jarasandha had an elephant named Kovalyapeda. which later on was given to Kamsa in dowry. So Jarasandha had put this condition. Only that person who can lift this elephant and throw this elephant upside down can marry my two daughters, Hasti and Prapti. And it was Kamsa who appeared on the scene, and just like a small child who twists a ear of a baby, you know, goat, Bakri. Similarly, Kamsa, he just lifted that huge elephant, Kovalyapeeda, and threw him. And Jarasandha was then rest assured that he is the one suitable for my two daughters, Hasti and Prapti. So that much strength Kamsa had in his arms. And with those arms, he was holding the hair of Devaki. And it was for a long time, because the discussion with Vasudev, it went on for a long time. So can you imagine Devaki's condition? This cruel person holding Devaki's hair all that time. So Kamsa, who immediately showed his real color, and the example is given of a cat and a dhanushman, a bow, an arrow. That a cat, before it kills a rat, sometimes we have seen that also, that a cat bows down, appears to be bowing down in front of the rat. You know, with its two legs outstretched, and you know, just preparing to pounce upon the rat. It appears as if the cat is offering some panchang dandavat. You know, with the two legs outside, outstretched, and with the, you know, with its head just waiting down to just now preparing to pounce upon the rat. So the posture of that cat appears as if the cat is offering obeisances to the rat. So similarly, Kamsa, his act of driving that chariot was like that for Devaki. Another example is given of the bow. That when the archer wants to shoot the target, the bow and arrow, in order to create the tension, he has to pull the rope. And in order to pull the rope, he takes the bow down. In order to pull that rope and create the tension for that arrow to go, you know, at fast speed. So it appears that that bow also bows down in front of the target before the arrow is released. So the cat bows down before the rat, and that bow bows down before the target, before it is released, the arrow is released. So similarly, Kamsa was the same. He was offering his services and affection, and just the next moment, the attack was on. So now Vasudev, he realized, Kamsa is too powerful, and I don't have that much power that I can outdo Kamsa in physical power. So the word which is used for Vasudev by Shukadev Goswami is Mahabhag. Vasudev, who was very upright and sober, so he used his sobriety in order to convince Kamsa to not do such an act. And Vishwanath Chakra Thakur explains that Vasudev was using Sam Dan Dand Bhed, and how expertly and in such a witty and logical way Vasudev is convincing Kamsa not to kill Devaki. So first, Vasudev uses the Samaniti. And Chakravarti Pad explains that in Samaniti there are three subcategories. The first category in Samaniti is that you glorify the other person whom you want to get convinced. So you glorify the other person. That's called Gunakriti. And then, if that doesn't work, then you use some pacifying words of logic. and that's called upakriti. And if that doesn't work, then you establish some relationship with that person. That's called sambandha. So Vasudev, who was well versed with the scriptures also and all these nitis, he started using the Sama Niti first in order to convince Kamsa. So first he started glorifying Kamsa. He said, "Oh my dear Kamsa, you are the best of Bhoja dynasty. And you are the pride of all of the citizens whom you are ruling over. Don't forget your position that you are the best of the Bhoja dynasty and you are the pride of all of these people. And if you do such a thing, you are being observed by everyone. So just think about that." So he started to glorify. So this was the Guna Kriti Niti which Vasudev was using in order to convince Kamsa. But then he saw that Kamsa was totally unaffected. He was still having the same anger. But he stopped using his sword because, you know, when you are glorified, so Kamsa thought that, you know, at least first I'll listen my glorification and then I'll, you know, continue with killing Devaki. So that's the human psyche, that when we are glorified, the ears stand on end, and whatever we are doing, we just stop. Oh, something spoken about me. So Kamsa also stopped. He had the sword ready, but when Vasudev started glorifying Kamsa, Vasudev knew the immediate measure which I can do to stop this sword now is to glorify Kamsa. So immediately Kamsa at that particular moment stopped using his sword. And then Vasudev started speaking some nyaya, some logic. And Vasudev started saying that how everyone is going to die one day, Kamsa. And the similar verse Vasudev echoed, which Krishna later on is speaking in Bhagavad Gita. Jatase hi dhruvor mrityu. So, you know, Bab Beta, both, you know, the same Bhagavad Gita, it's running in the family. It began with Vasudev and later on Krishna took the business. And same on the chariot, here also. Vasudev was speaking the same Gita to Kamsa on the chariot. And later on, Vasudev will speak the same Gita on the chariot to Arjun. So the difference is that the same message was given. In fact, Vasudev gave a crash course because it was an emergency. So he gave a, you know, concise crash course, the Gita crash course over there on the chariot. Because the recipient was a person like Kamsa, Kamsa couldn't take that message and follow what Vasudev said. So the difference is that when the recipient is like Arjuna, then the message is sent across. So herein, immediately Vasudev, he started speaking that anyways, everyone is going to die one day. See, if you kill this Devaki now, do you think that you're going to survive? Do you think that Akashvani which was told, you're going to just escape from that? You, me, everyone. Now the Akashvani was for you. Do you think that the others who the Akashvani was not for, they are going to live forever? Everyone is going to die. Even I am going to die. Even though I am supposed to be the father of the person who is going to kill you. But still I am going to die. So why make such a big hue and cry issue out of that? If anyways everyone is going to die according to one's activities. So Vasudev was trying to implore upon Kamsa. See, right now, if you forgive Devaki, leave Devaki, then what will happen is, because of that benevolent act, in your next life, you will enjoy like anything. And then Vasudev gives the example of how the transmigration takes place. So Kamsa was hearing all of that while holding the sword still. And Kamsa was not so satisfied. Something was making sense to Kamsa. And then Kamsa asked, "Okay, you are saying that there is another life, there is transmigration, and you get another body according to the activities which you perform in this life. So I have performed so much degraded activities in my life according to your explanation. So which means in my next life I'm going to get a degraded body. So why not I protect this Rajadehamai of mine now, which I have already got now. Why don't I prolong this by killing Devaki? So again, he was preparing to hit at Devaki. And then Vasudev, he thought that I have to now use some more deeper logic in order to explain to this Kamsa. So Vasudev said that, see, wait a minute. Just like in this life you have seen that how at various stages of your change of the body in this life, from boyhood to youth and to middle age and then old age, you see that whenever the changes takes place, a person enjoys that particular stage of the body which the person is in. When you are a small child, you enjoy the body of that small child. When you are a young man, you enjoy that body of being young. So similarly, don't worry. Whatever body you will get, you will still enjoy that body, whether it will be a pig's body or anyone's body. So don't worry about the next body which you will be getting. The nature has been designed in such a way that you will still keep enjoying whatever body you get. And Kamsa was not so satisfied with that logic. So Kamsa was again preparing. What about the Akashvani? Still, that is ringing in my ears. What do you have to say about that? So now, Vasudev used the Dandaniti. And Vasudev said, see, if you kill this woman, then you'll be incurring heavy sin. So Vasudev instilled two kinds of fear in the heart of Kamsa. One was Drishtabhaya and one was Adrishtabhaya. Drishtabhaya is something which you can see right away. So Vasudev told to Kamsa that, see, if you kill this Devaki, the whole of Mathura will be against you. Because the whole Mathura loves Devaki. So if you kill Devaki right now, the whole of Mathura will pounce upon you and kill you. So this is Drishtabhaya. Right now it will take place. And Adrishtabhaya will be, even if you escape all the Mathura Vasis by your power, there is Yamaraj waiting for you. That is Adrishtabhaya. So Vasudev started instilling these two kinds of bhaya within Kamsa. And Kamsa again stopped and thought for a moment. But then he said, I don't care about all these different drishta or adrishta bhaya which you are speaking of. And immediately then Vasudev thought that I have to use the sambandh yukti from the Samaniti now. So immediately Vasudev is telling to Kamsa, but she's your sister. Have you forgotten that? And she's not just like your sister, but also like your daughter. And today is the day of her marriage. Have you forgotten all of that? So Vasudev was using the sambandh in order to appease Kamsa. And Kamsa was still not satisfied. And Shukadev Goswami, at that point of time, he's telling to Parikshit Maharaj in between. He's telling, Na vyayartata Kauravya. That this, he's addressing Parikshit Maharaj as Kauravya, or best of the Kurus. He's using, you know, the indication of the Kuru dynasty to address to Parikshit Maharaj, saying that in your Kuru dynasty also there was a person like this Kamsa. Remember this Parikshit. He was Duryodhan. How much Vasudev Krishna tried to convince this Duryodhan, he was not ready to be convinced. So don't be surprised. There are people like this. There were people like this in your own dynasty. Kamsa was a person similar to Duryodhan. So in between, Shukadev Goswami speaks that verse and addresses Parikshit Maharaj as Kauravya. And Vasudev, he starts to think within himself, now I have used so many different nitis in order to convince this Kamsa is not getting convinced. And then Vasudeva thought to himself that when I was born, I was named Anakudundubi. And why one of the names of Vasudeva is Anakudundubi? Anakudundubi means Anaka and Dundubi. Drums and kettle drums were played when Vasudeva took birth. And the demigods played these instruments to pronounce that Vasudeva is this person who will be always successful in whatever he will do. So they were playing these instruments and Vasudeva got this name Anakudundubi. So Vasudeva thought that it has been already prophesied that I'll be successful in whatever I do. So definitely I'll be successful in this act of mine also. So I should not give up. And plus he thought that destiny is something which works wonderfully. It could happen that Kamsa will die before Devaki or before the eighth son is born. So somehow I have to do something just to protect Devaki right now. And then at the end, Vasudeva is using the Dana Niti. And Vasudeva is telling to Kamsa that, okay, you are fearful of the eighth son of Devaki. I assure you that every child born of Devaki, I'll give it to you. So when Kamsa saw this magnanimity in Vasudeva's heart, that Vasudeva, and in fact Kamsa, he knew that Vasudeva is a man of honor. Whatever he's saying, he's not going to back out from that. So Kamsa's heart melted and his sword came down. After he heard that from Vasudeva, that you are ready to give your sons to me, to be killed by me? Okay, I leave Devaki. And that was the time when Kamsa left Devaki. So herein it is explained that Vasudeva had to go to that extent that he was thinking in his mind that I'll even give Krishna to him. The most dear object for him, both of us, we performed so many austerities just so that he could become our son. If I have to protect Devaki right now, I'm ready to give away that son of mine also to Kamsa. And if whatever providence is in store, definitely Krishna will do something for us and for himself also. So herein also we see that Vishnu Dutas, like Vasudev, are using so many reasoning and arguments. We are going verse after verse. They're explaining the glories of devotional service, about dharma, specifically about the glories of chanting Hare Krishna. And the next verse now, Vishnu Dutas are releasing Ajamil, and the Yamadutas are totally confused that we were supposed to take him, and what's happening? We are wrong. Releasing him. We are the ones who are releasing him now. So immediately they go to Yamraj and over there ask him that, what is this going on? We are supposed to follow your orders, but this is what happened. And then we'll see how Yamraj also uses reasoning and arguments. So on the eve of Janmashtami, just upcoming, this could be a nice meditation on Vasudev, that how Vasudev, and the combination of Vasudev and Devaki, Krishna appearance is a combination of Vasudev and Devaki. So Vasudev is Mahabhaga, sharp intelligence, sobriety, uprightness, wit, logic, plus Devaki, who is a combination of goddess of devotion. So with this combination, yes, definitely Krishna can also take birth in our consciousness, in our life. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.